going on? You're listening to Botched Roll. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. And while this was originally supposed to be for Tabletop Day, which was yesterday, April 30th, 2016, however, I've actually taken a really nasty spill, and I'm not exactly walking right now, and so much so, or even moving around the house is kind of difficult. So my good wife, Blair, has decided to set up a temporary recording studio in my bedroom, so you'll have to apologize for some of the quality today, but hopefully I will be healed up by the time Captain America comes out in just a couple of days. I'll be able to get out there and experience the wonder and majestic magic that is Spider-Man. So anyway, I do want to send a special shout-out to Arc Dream Publishing for this one. These guys actually sent me a couple of free RPG... Tabletop Day exclusives, which you can go over to rpgnow.com, check out. You may still be able to get them at this price, where it's pay what you want. And I'm actually going to be talking about this game a little bit more in depth later on this summer, maybe even later on this month. I might be doing an interview with some of these guys. We've actually run a campaign in this for Terrible Warriors. And what it is, they're actually two collections of short fiction for Delta Green. And if that's something you may have heard about, it's, think of it as Call of Cthulhu meets 24 or the X-Files, sort of the modern day reinterpretation of Call of Cthulhu, but more government agency, sort of like these guys are the thin red line between us and a Chthonian, or, you know, there's a whole nested night gaunts in there. Let's go in with like SEAL Team 6 sort of thing. So sort of literally the last step between us and the end of the world. And what these things are, they're collections, like I said, of short fiction. Each of them runs, let me see how many pages they run. The first one is, well, close to 500 pages, and you get a bunch of short stories. And there's Delta Green Extraordinary Renditions, which has a foreword by, let me see. I'm just looking at this right now, guys. You'll have to give me a second. The introduction is by Shane Ivey. I'm pretty sure I said his name right. He's actually going to be the guy I'll probably be interviewing in the next little bit. And then there is Delta Green Tales from Failed Anatomies, which is stories of the Cthulhu mythos. And that's another collection of short stories that runs just a little under 300 pages. So, totally worth checking out these two pieces of fiction. If you do really want to set a game in the world of Delta Green, it is pretty kick-ass. And from what I can gather from the source material, Delta Green may have actually existed. So that's kind of amazing. But like I said, if you want to check that out, you can go over to rpgnow.com. Hopefully you can still scoop this up at the pay-what-you-want price. But anyway, so Tabletop Day. So this is a thing that was done by Geek and Sundry, where everybody gets together and celebrates gaming of some capacity. Most often tabletop games, like board games. Though I celebrated yesterday mostly by playing a shit ton of Call of Duty. But some of the board games I think you should really get a chance to go out there and check out. One I actually had a chance to play recently from my friend that owns the comic book store in Orangeville, The Gauntlet. This one comes to us from Cryptozoic Entertainment from a vastly successful Kickstarter, was the Ghostbusters video, or the Ghostbusters board game. I played this probably about 2 months ago, and I had a lot of fun with it. And it actually has a XP system kind of built into it, so there are different scenarios, and your Ghostbusters do get more and more powerful. As the game works out, you have to go around the board and do certain objectives, like close portals, catch so many ghosts. If the spirit world ever completely empties, you're dead. But you can send ghosts back to the spirit world, but that also means you're spawning bad guys in for yourself later, potentially. Or stuff like that. You'll fight boss ghosts, stuff like that. Each Ghostbuster may have a different ability, like, I think I played Ray, and I think I had the ability to de-slime people, which when you get slimed, it basically limits your movement. It's kind of like getting, it's kind of like hit points, like you never totally die, but if you're reduced to zero hit points, you have to, like, take slime off yourself so you can move around and do stuff. But you can also play around with the, like, Ecto-1 and stuff like that. If you had the Kickstarter, there were some exclusive, I think, I want to say there were exclusive scenarios There were exclusive pieces. I'm pretty sure there's still a Kickstarter going on right now for the Ghostbusters 2 board game. I have yet to pick this up myself, but on Amazon right now, it's $50 Canadian. So I'm probably going to pick this up at some point in the next little bit. I had a fantastic time playing with it, though. And as you guys know, I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. I definitely enjoy, fighting spooks. Plus the fact I like, I just like the amount of detail that went into this game. Kind of taking some of the artwork from IDW. They actually had writers come out and write the scenarios and do some of the card art and everything like that. It's very, very cool. Like I said, I highly recommend the Ghostbusters board game if you get a chance to check this out. So check out your local brick-and-mortar retailer or Amazon.com if you want to find out a little bit more about that. The next one that I want to talk about, this one comes from a RPG publisher, but also a board game publisher. This is probably one of my favorite all-time games, and it's Battletech/MechWarrior. Think of it as tabletop warfare with, like, giant 90 to 100 ton war machines. And you play them out on these hexagonal maps, so to speak. And you can set up different scenarios. You can have different terrain and whatnot. So it's kind of cool. Like the one I had came in the introductory box set. You get like a bunch of different mechs. There are different terrain types you can buy, different mechs you can buy. And it's really kind of cool. Just like this is a game I used to play a shit ton in high school. Actually, one of the things that I liked that you could do with it is you could virtually set up like your own mechs. Like there are mech designing programs out there, and you can design your own mech. I think the one I used was a program called Mech Lab. I don't know if it's still around though. But you could design your own mechs, and you can play them out as long as you and your whoever you were playing with agreed on how much tonnage you could use, how much, whether you were allowing certain levels of technology in your game. It was very cool, and you could also play against your buddies, and you could have it, okay, you have X amount of tons, use them up however you want. So you could have, like, okay, I want a bunch of really fast mechs, so I'm going to get a bunch of 25-tonners that they don't hit a lot, but they move fast. So you could do, like, hit-and-run tactics on the board, or you could say, okay, fine. I want a 75-ton mech, which is fairly heavy. They're usually pretty well-armed. They move pretty well. And that's, you think of the classic Mad Cat, or, I want to say, not the Dire Wolf they used to call it. There used to be, like, another name for it, too, but I can't remember what the hell it is for the life of me. But when you think of Battletech, you typically think of the Mad Cat or the Dire Wolf, maybe the Thor/Summoner, maybe even the Atlas, which is the huge 100-ton mech you often see on the front of various books, novels, video games, whatever. But yeah, this is a game, if you've got a pretty big table, you can do some really creative things. You can also set up, like I said, I was mentioning terrain. You can hide behind buildings. You can set force on fire, so you can have guys have their heat levels and their mechs spike, so they can't necessarily shoot you as often, or maybe you'll make their ammo explode. It's really cool. Like I said, I had a tremendously fun time with it. The game used to be published by a company called Fossa. Now it's published by Catalyst Game Labs. Really recommend their stuff. Cannot speak enough about them. I really think you should check out their stuff if you get a chance to. The next one, well, it requires no introduction whatsoever, so I'm not even going to bother. Cards Against Humanity. If you're a dick, you'll probably enjoy this. It's basically, you get a black card which gives you, like, a scenario or complete this sentence. Like, for example, I'm on the website right now. And it says, this is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts and prepare for teaching a robot to love. And a person who's the card czar will read the black card aloud, and then he or she will vote on which answer is the funniest, because each of you passes a white card. No one knows which it is, and typically it's either the most fucked up or it's the most funny. And you can get some really, really horrible ones. I know me and my friend Shannon, whenever there's, like, a Jewish joke, obviously it gets pulled up, and 9 times out of 10 she always gets them, which is really weird. So she'll get, like, "Why am I broke? Auschwitz." And she'll be like, "Jesus, this game hates me." I'm like, "I know, right?" So yeah, if you are racially offended or offended by anything, this game probably isn't for you, but if you can just let your sense of humor run wild for, like, an hour or two, this game will entertain you for days at a time. It is that funny. It is infinitely replayable. Cards Against Humanity, a party game for horrible people. You could not get a more accurate description of that. Switching paces, this is another game that I really, really enjoyed. The company was gracious enough to send this to me last year, and I've played a couple games of it, and it's the Pathfinder Adventure card game. Now, there is a virtual version which just came out on iOS earlier last month or the month before that. Either way, it's available now on iOS, and it takes the Pathfinder role-play game and turns it into either a 1-to-4-player cooperative game. And you basically have to complete different scenarios or tasks to complete the mission. Like, kill so many people here, find the treasure, fight this bad guy. But as you do so, you search different locations. You may find a bad guy there. You could find some treasure. There may be a trap. And you'll find different characters from the role-playing game. You might get Sione the Sorceress, or Valoros the Fighter, or the Cleric character, stuff like that. And it's really, 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 really cool. Just the fact that you could even play this game by yourself if you wanted to. And if you've been listening to the Pathfinder audiobooks, they do tie into it, too. Like, each game, each adventure path is its own set. Like, there's Rise of the Rune Lords, Skull and Shackles, Wrath of the Righteous. You can even buy class decks. If you don't have the Barbarian, go buy the Barbarian. You want the Ranger? There's the Ranger. It's so freaking cool. Just the fact that there's so many possibilities with this particular card game that you'll never play the same game twice, and you can actually keep track of experience and level up your characters as you go through. They actually offer you, like, a stat tracking ability in the box. So if you play this game regularly with your friends, you can get more and more powerful. I think that's incredibly cool, and I've only ever seen another game do this, and that was Ghostbusters, but this game came first. And honestly, I probably recommend this one over the Ghostbusters because it's so infinitely replayable. Just because as you shuffle the cards or as you buy more add-ons and do more stuff with it, the options just, they grow. And there's actually an adventure card guild where you can have the decks and everything sent to you, and things just grow. And I'm pretty sure for free RPG Day, they give out cards for this. So be on the lookout. Like I said, Paizo really knocked out a winner here. And I actually interviewed the designer for this, Tanis, I believe her name was. And it's awesome. Like I said, cannot talk about this game enough. Finally, this is a game I played at PAX East back in 2011, I want to say, and I was on the floor. This was when it was at the Boston Conventions or the Heinz Convention Center. Either way, it was PAX 2010. Either way, I don't know. The game is from Flying Frog Productions, and it's Last Night on Earth, the zombie game. Basically, you have a board and you assemble it. And you'll have different heroes and characters, and you have to survive the zombie apocalypse. But there may be clear the board of zombies, get gas to the truck, rescue certain people, or they may impose different scenarios on you. Like, I know there's one card where it's like if there's a female and a male character. There's a card, I think, called This Could Be Our Last Night on Earth, and your characters have sex and can't do anything for a turn. Stuff like that, or if you're injured, or if you get weapons, something like that. It's such an incredibly cool game, and there's a lot of cool customization to it, too. There are expansions for it. I've only played... What the hell was it? I think we played Revenge of the Dead for this one, and Survival of the Fittest, were the two ones we played. My friend Pierce had them. I haven't had a chance to buy any more out of this expansion, because the website for Flying Frog doesn't update very often, if at all. The last update they have is from 2014. But I know if you go to Amazon.com, you can find this game fairly cheap. The one I had came with a soundtrack, which is really cheesy. It doesn't really add a whole lot to the atmosphere. It's like kind of goofy. But it's one of those games where it's a lot of cooperative fun, because one person can play the zombies, another person can play the heroes, and it's a lot of neat back and forth. In fact, I actually bought Photoshop templates, and we made up our own characters for this. So we had Conan the Barbarian, Jack Bauer, and Chuck Green from Dead Rising fighting zombies. I think we even made one for RoboCop and stuff like that. But it's so much fun. Like I said, Last Night on Earth, the game's about $40-$50, and if you get the right group of friends, this is a game that you will literally end up playing this all night. Because it literally gets that fun, that intense. And you'll have so many close calls. Like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. One more bite and I'm dead. Or stuff like that. Because usually you can only kill zombies if you roll doubles, I think. And zombies win ties, if I remember correctly. But it's a tremendously fun game. Like I said, cannot recommend this one enough. So hopefully you guys will take a look at some of my recommendations that I've given you. Like I said, Ghostbusters from Cryptozoic, if you can get your hands on this, it's really, really, really fun, especially with the new movie coming out. I do expect this to become more and more hard to find. Actually, I'm really hoping the new movie gives us an expansion in some capacity, even if it's just four new player tokens and maybe a new scenario. BattleTech/MechWarrior, Catalyst Game Labs, amazingly fun miniatures war game. You don't need to buy the really expensive pewter miniatures either. There are plastic ones. There's even cardboard ones you can use. You can design your own. Cards Against Humanity, don't need to tell you anything more than that. The Pathfinder Adventure card game, it's available for the iOS. It's available as a physical board game as well. It is ridiculous fun, especially if you're a fan of the Paizo mythos they've created for Pathfinder. It really immerses you in the world. And like I just said, Flying Frog, Last Night on Earth, the zombie game, amazingly fun time. You can find that pretty cheap. And like I said, if you want to check out something, you could probably still jump on this deal right now, but it may change in the next couple of hours or days. And that's from Arc Dream Publishing. That's the Delta Green Selections of Fiction. They, like I said, Call of Cthulhu meets 24. Or Call of Cthulhu meets military X-Files type conspiracy type stuff. It's an amazingly cool world. I hope we will roleplay in it for Terrible Warriors later on this year. I know I'm going to be talking to these people sooner as opposed to later, because I got to know some things. So anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed your tabletop day. There will be more Boss Droll coming out in the next little bit. Like I said, do apologize for the sound quality. Let's hope I don't fall down the damn stairs again. And until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, may you never roll a natural one.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face!
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, but I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.